We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Welcome back, everyone.
Oh my god, we missed you.
How was your week off?
How was my week off? Honestly, fine. I just did school and stuff. I went camping this last weekend because it was fall break at my university. And I didn't go camping.
Okay, that makes sense. Because when you were like, I'm out of town on Monday, I was like, why are you skipping school?
No, I don't skip school.
I don't know, I've done it.
I am currently skipping school to record this podcast, though.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have scheduled it right now, then.
No, I'm fine. Listen, it's Zoom University. I can rewatch the show. But, like, I just felt so bad because I was out of town yesterday and Saturday. I felt bad. Because Ian texts me. He's like, hey, I'm in town. Let's record. And I was like, dude, I'm in freaking Park City slumming it with the trees. Like, no thing. I was so mad. Anyway, but yeah, I'm currently skipping class to do this. Okay, hey. My name is Lena Knatzer, and I am a Gleek.
My name is Ian Allred, and it may come as a surprise, but I am also a Gleek.
Whoa.
Right? What a coincidence.
We're coming to you from the wee hour of 9:30 a.m.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
I swear to God, when we first started this podcast, we were like doing it at 10 p.m. We were like holding it down in the evening. I miss that.
What changed?
Bad. School. That's what changed. Because I started having rehearsals. True. And,
And then class. And so we couldn't do it after rehearsal. Yeah.
And also, you're like a whole human with a life. So.
You say that. It's not true. I truly just DoorDash and watch TV. That's all I do. So,
speaking of, that life really. Is very easy to get up and move. Yeah, you told
surprise.
Me a weird factoroni before we started that I had no idea. I literally was in Salt Lake yesterday. I could have come seen you.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It's a pandemic.
Okay, I live in Salt Lake now, everyone. Surprise. The reason that I haven't told anyone is because, like, A, it's weird to make an announcement about it, and B, it was very sudden. And I don't know how long I'll be living here. Mm. So, the reason that we took a week off.
Oh my God, we're doing this thing.
I don't know how in depth we're gonna get, just because it's gonna bring the mood down a lot.
Sure beans.
but there was a tragedy in my family. And my sister is now in the hospital awaiting a very serious surgery. And so that all happened on Sunday night, and we were supposed to record on Monday, and Lena texted me and was like, hey, if you don't want to record this week, like, do not worry about it. And I was like, thank you, let's not, because I am in no place to be funny right now. So my parents have moved to Houston for the time being. They're retired, so like, it's fine. Yeah.
My mom was wondering about that.
Yeah, so they've moved to Houston to help her husband and help take care of her son while she's in the hospital for who knows how long. And so my options were to be in Houston with them, which I was already when it happened, but it was like to be in Houston longer with them, to go back to Arizona and just like live in their house by myself, or to move in with my sister. And going back to Arizona, where I don't have any friends and my parents weren't there, so literally I would DoorDash and then come home and not see a person the whole day. Yikes. I was like, that sounds like a bad idea. So I was going to stay in Houston, but my parents, you know, having a life-threatening thing happen to your child is very traumatic. And so they were really going through it. And also, like, my brother-in-law's parents came to town, and like my aunt came to town, and like all these people were coming to pitch in. So I wasn't super helping because there wasn't a lot to be done.
Right.
And so my sister called me and she was like, hey, my other sister, she called me and she was like, hey, I know that like you want to be in Houston to like help out, but A, like you're not helping that much. Not like you're not helping, but just like there's not.
Yeah.
Like, if you left, it wouldn't make a difference. And she's like, B, I don't think it's healthy for you to just, like, watch mom and dad fall apart every day.
Yeah.
She's like, also, you know mom, and it will actually be more stressful for her if she feels like you are unhappy.
Yeah.
And she's like, you will actually be helping her by getting into a situation where she feels like she doesn't have to worry about you. So she was like, come move in with me and Logan. So my sister and her husband have been very kind. I'm now living in their house with them.
That's awesome.
And who knows how long I'll be here, but yeah, so my whole life in the last week and a half is completely different than it was before. What a time.
We love to learn and grow, but we hate the shit that gets us there. That really sucks. I'm really sorry. But honestly, hear me out. I think you'll love Salt Lake. I grew up in Salt Lake. I love that town so much. So I hope it brings you lots of joy, and I hope you do lots of fun things there. I love Salt Lake. Oh my gosh. You ready to talk about Glee?
Yeah, let's talk about Glee. Let's get the mood back up.
Let's get the mood back up. Okay.
Okay. Great.
Great.
Well, this episode was Wheels, everyone. We finally got to it. You're welcome.
Oh my God, I know. Everyone and their cat has been like tweeting us like, when are you going to get to Wheels? When are you going
to
get to Wheels?
Yeah, everyone was like, we announced a podcast and they're like, I don't care about the first 8 episodes.
No.
Call me when you're at Wheels.
I know. And here is your official call, you guys.
Yeah.
We're at Wheels.
We are dialing all of your number. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, it's Ian and Lena. We're at Wheels.
Yeah.
Time to tune in.
You're welcome. Proud Mary, keep on burning. Let's go. Let's talk about Wheels. Okay, tell me about
it. All right, let's get to some Glax.
Give me your Glax.
Give me your Glax. Everyone vote for which of our Glax themes were your favorite.
So I love Wheels. This like Twitter poll thing that you've like suddenly
Thank
become
you.
Very passionate about. It's
what
very exciting.
Does it
we
say?
Haven't talked about our pie thing yet.
Oh, yeah. So we've been doing a weekly Twitter poll. What does it say about my mind and just like where my priorities are at that in the midst of like my sister in the hospital and my family all crying, I was like, but should I still post a Twitter poll?
Oh, sweetheart.
That's my marketing brain that never shuts off and is always like,
that.
But I need to make sure we stay in the consciousness. Anyways, our Twitter polls have been pie versus cake. Lena, would you like to announce the winner of that poll?
You are an evil butthead. yes. And I wasn't surprised by this. We've done this poll before. If you're an avid listener to the podcast, like I know you are, you know that we had this poll last year and Ian beat me that time and he had to rub it in my face again with now our Glee friends.
Hey, yo.
And cake won. Even though pie is the best. Pie, I know in
I,
my heart
I just...
of hearts. That pie is just the shit. You know it.
I truly do not.
Nothing beats pie.
I truly don't know that.
Well, you're a jerk. Go ahead. Tell us about the other one.
All right.
Then we'll talk about our GIF wars.
And then our other one was which song was worse, mm-hmm. which Will Schuster number was worse, Bust a Move or the Thong Song. Mm-hmm. The Thong Song ultimately won.
Yeah.
I do want to point out, though, that friend of the podcast, Ada Lauren Taylor, does make a very good point where she's like, I know the Thong Song is so terrible to watch, but Bust a Move, he is singing to his underage students, and he says to 16-year-old Quinn, you wish you could sex her. That is worse than the Thong Song.
Yeah.
And I do want to highlight that point because it's very true. But I did vote for the Thong Song.
I did too.
Specifically because.
I felt bad immediately. I was like, oh,
just specifically because I cannot listen to Matthew Morrison do the speaking part at the beginning and then his little heh.
That. So gross.
Those 5 seconds were worse than anything that happened in Bust a Move for me.
I know. And, like, the way he tries to get up under her skirt.
I don't know why that conversation is what reminded me of this, but we haven't talked about Much Ado About Nothing, homie,
because
it was so long ago.
Yeah, it was so long ago.
So Lena's show had its performances during her hiatus. How'd it go? Her radio show, everyone, socially distanced.
Yeah. It was very socially distant. It went well. It went well. It was really interesting. Because, you know, I come from a regular family, you know, where regular middle-class Americans, like, they don't, like, study Shakespeare. So I knew I knew getting cast in the show, especially because this is the first Shakespeare I've done since I was, like, 16. You know,
Ayo.
So it's been a really, really, really... Are you on a bouncy ball?
I am. So I'm in
You're
my
on an
brother.
Exercise ball?
Yeah, I'm in my brother-in-law Logan's office right now recording.
Thanks, brother-in-law Logan.
This is what he has as a chair, as a medicine ball.
I love that.
And I'm like, thank you. Yeah, I'm going to get my ab workout in while we're talking.
I love it. Okay. Anyway, so I knew getting cast, like, they've only seen me in cheesy musicals. Like, this is going to be a difficult transition for them. And this was, you know, back in April, March, when I got cast. So right as things were shutting down, we did all of our auditions via Zoom. But we all had hopes that we could come back and do the show. The department ultimately decided that that wasn't going to happen, so we decided to do a radio play, which it honestly turned out really well. We got an amazing director to come do it. Like, it was really exciting, and I loved at least being in a rehearsal space, but my family did not understand, honestly, anything. Yeah, my mom, God bless her, she listened every single night to the performance, and she texted me on the last night, and she's like, I finally got what was going on.
Oh.
It was honestly really sweet, but, like, my poor sister and, like, my grandma and my aunt, like, they all texted me, and they were like, hey, that Dogberry was really funny. And I was like, I'm glad you liked at least a part of it. But it was fun. It was awesome. I'm really glad I got to do it. I was really, really, really sad when it ended, because now I'm like, when's the next rehearsal I'm going to be in? So it went really well, though.
I listened on opening night, and I legitimately loved it. And this isn't me being supportive, because straight up, I liked it more than I thought I would.
Really good. I'm glad. I'm really
and
glad.
It wasn't a shame on any of you. I just truly was like, a radio play Shakespeare sounds like a lot to process.
Yeah.
Because so much of, like, understanding Shakespeare is visual by what the actors are doing.
Certainly.
But I understood it, and I really liked it a
good.
Lot.
I'm glad. I'm really glad. It was honestly a really difficult thing doing a radio play, because it's almost like, you know, it's a play. You know, we're doing the play. We're, like, acting with each other. It's so hard. And then I just picked up my backpack and left.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't, like, I was like, do we just leave? Like, it felt like it wasn't finished. And even when we closed, I was like, I haven't spoken to anyone about this, like, other than my mom. Like, and I realized, like, I was like, is this what doing film is like? Because if it is, I, like, feed off of, like, audience interaction and, like, the energy in the room that is, like, the magic of a theater room. Like, and it was really difficult.
Yeah.
It was really difficult.
Well, yeah. Those are your GLACs. Now, what do we miss on Glee, Lena?
Are those all the GLACs?
No, we haven't. Start the glacks? We haven't said a single glack. We said, "Here are your glacks," and then I asked you about much ado about nothing. Okay, here are. Let's throw another theme song out.
Okay.
Here are your glacks. That just turned into These Are the Days.
Okay, I like it though.
It was just these are the days. That was unintentional.
Should I do another theme song too? Since you got to do two.
Do it. Do okay.
These are the days. What?
Why did you say days instead of glacks?
I don't know. You were saying these are the days. I'm sorry.
No.
Cut that out. Wait, cut that out. I don't want to do it.
I tried to make up a theme song.
I know. No. Listen. My mind. It's early. My mind. I was going to say these. These are your glacks. And you... It freaked my mind out so hard.
It's like, also, okay, I'm going to make up a Glack theme song. Yo, unbelievable. Bow, 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 bow.
Listen, I'm a dumbass and it's an AM that I don't like. Do you see how swollen my eyes are? That's mostly from being in the wilderness all weekend. We're over FaceTime again. I hate being over FaceTime. You and I were made to be friends in real life.
Right?
Right? If only.
Wheels. Aired
Wheels
on November 11th, 2009.
Very good.
It was written by our best friend of the whole world, Ryan Murphy. Not to be confused with my cousin, Ryan Murphy. It was directed by Paris. I'm going to assume it's either Barclay or Barkley. I feel like it's Barclay because there's an A at the end there.
I think I had a dream that this episode was directed by Russ Benton.
It was directed by Russ Benton, professor, theater professor at Southern Utah University.
Oh my god.
Ryan Murphy called this episode the turning point for Glee.
Interesting.
I am not going to disagree with him, but I am going to disagree with it being a good thing. So he said that this episode is when they realized...
Oh yeah.
Like, this was kind of their first, like, mostly serious episode.
For sure.
And it was when he realized that Glee had the responsibility to, along with being entertaining, to also, like, really address the pain and struggles that outcasts go through.
Sure.
Which, in this episode, I think they do, like, a good enough job of doing that.
I think so,
But that turning point and shift of focus led to a lot of very bad episodes in the future.
Oh, definitely.
So, I don't love that turning point, but Ryan Murphy sure did. The entire cast were given wheelchairs while filming this number, obviously. And Lea Michele, Corey Monteith, and Diana Agron would just stay in their wheelchairs all day as they went around the lot. And they
would go
to the cafeteria in their wheelchairs, and people would let them cut in line because they thought that they were actually handicapped and, like, needed the wheelchairs. They thought they were handicapable, so they were like, cut in front of me, and they're like completely fine.
Oh yeah, and they weren't like famous yet, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, because the show hadn't started airing yet.
Yeah.
Brad Fulchuk, one of the writers, he was diagnosed with a spinal cord injury at some point, and he had to get surgery for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, just like his recovery process from that surgery and being in a wheelchair, is what inspired this episode.
Cool.
Also, on the Kurt front, Chris Colfer wanted to audition for a song in his high school drama club, but the director wouldn't let him because it was traditionally sung by a woman.
Hmm.
And so that real-life event inspired Kurt's, what am I trying to say, storyline.
Yeah, cool. All right. Awesome.
So this is the death of Tina Stutter is in this episode.
Right.
So Tina Stutter was not intended to be fake when they wrote the pilot.
Interesting.
The writers just realized, which I can understand this, the writers realized how hard it is to write for a character whose, like, biggest personality trait is that she barely talks, and when she does, she stutters.
Huh.
And so Ian Brennan told Jenna Ushkowitz, he was like, we can't write for your character until you don't have a stutter anymore. So the stutter was fake. Funny, because then the stutter was fake and they continued to not write for her character. But
yeah,
that's a conversation for a different day.
Wow.
This episode is the first appearance of Lauren Zices and Becky. And both Becky. Characters that will become very important later on.
Yeah.
Farther down the line. Mike O'Malley, who plays Bert Hummel, got nominated for an Emmy for this episode. And the director, Russ Benton, got nominated for Best Director and Emmy for this episode.
Oh, really?
All right, the songs in this episode. Dancing with Myself by Generation X, which was Billy Idol's band. But they specifically do... I told myself I was going to look up how to pronounce this band name, and I didn't do it.
Oh, I hate that.
They specifically did the version by Nouvelle Vague, maybe?
Okay.
So,
oh, that sucks to hear, because I thought, well, this is just my bad research. I totally thought that they made this version, and I was going to say, I love when Glee, like, takes a song and makes a new version of it, but they totally copped it. So,
no, this amazing. Isn't one of those times. Sorry.
That's fine. Honestly, good for them. It's a great version.
They did Defying Gravity by the one and only Stephen Schwartz. Made famous by Adele Dazeem.
Of course.
And then they ended with Proud Mary by Creedence Clearwater Revival, but they specifically did the Tina Turner version. This episode, they were like, no original versions. We really only want to do the covers of the original.
A covers of a cover of a cover.
Yeah. So.
Honestly, I get it.
On the note of Proud Mary.
Yeah.
So, when they went in to do Proud Mary, the producers were all excited to do this number in wheelchairs and to like have ramps and like all the unique stuff they'd be able to do. They built this huge ramp stage and the ramps they built were too steep. The actors could not wheel themselves up. And Amber Riley at one point was like, I'm going to do it. And she like full force tried to wheel herself up. And then lost control, rolled backwards, the chair fell over, she fell out of the chair. So they were like, maybe let's rebuild this set.
I love that.
So the version you see is actually version two.
That's interesting.
Also, every member of the cast fell out of their wheelchair. I mean, fell over, like their wheelchair capsized once. At least once while recording this number.
That makes sense.
Zach Woodley, the choreographer, said it was the, quote, scariest number that Glee had done up to that point.
Makes sense.
And those are your glacks.
Those are some good glacks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Those were your glacks, and now it's time for Not Your Glacks. We're going to move on to talking about wheels instead of glacks. Don't you know, I just wrote that. That's an original
song. You're a jerk. You're hurting my feelings. I'm just kidding, you're not. Okay, so I have the recap this week. Let's try it. It isn't. Let's do it. I'm not going to make comments until it happens. Okay. After the Glee Club is denied a special handicapable bus for Artie to go to sectionals, Will asks the kids to start a bake sale, and they are jerks to Artie. Will challenges the kids to experience life from a different point of view and challenges them to spend 3 hours a day in a wheelchair and hold a bake sale to raise money for the bus. Quinn and Finn struggle with financial problems when the doctor's bills begin to pile up, so Puck steps in to try and help. At the same time, Sue accepts a student with Down syndrome onto the Cheerios, leading Will to question her motives. Kurt's dad receives a threatening phone call calling Kurt a really mean slur. Meanwhile, the Glee Club hosts its first diva off between Kurt and Rachel as they compete for a solo performance at sectionals. Kurt intentionally throws the note and Rachel wins. And that's what you missed on Glee!
Woo!
Woo!
Incredible.
Thanks.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
What did you think of Wheels?
I liked Wheels. I liked Wheels a lot. Sorry, I just got a notification from GarageBand and I thought it wasn't recording. It is recording. Ooh, it just detects
can
Facebook.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, I would absolutely die. I have nightmares about, especially me, because I'm, you know, I'm the dumb one of the two of us. I'm the hot dumb one. You're the smart one.
I'm the ugly smart one.
Yeah, you're the ugly smart one.
I'm the one who wears glasses and I have my hair in a ponytail.
Yep. And then someday I'll give you a makeover and then you'll become prom queen.
Yeah,
I can't wait for that episode. Anyway, but I'm the hot dumb one, so I'm the one who usually has like some sort of problems, right? But I have nightmares that we're gonna be recording a whole podcast. You and me are long-winded, so that means like 3 hours we will never get back. And honestly, love spending time with you. I honestly, it's not wasted to me when I'm spending time with you, but also I can't even imagine having to have that conversation with you. You would be so disappointed. You'd be like, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. And then we'd have to do it like the last episode, but also worse. And it's also a weird thing, and I can't even imagine being a listener in situations like this, because, you know, even the episode after the last episode, we kept referencing the last episode. At least now we don't reference the last episode so much, you know. I'm just kidding.
You guys, during the last episode, Lean and I talked about what our mailman moment would be if we were getting hot and heavy. Yeah. We talked about it, and honestly, it wasn't that funny, and so that's why I didn't have us do it again.
I know. I was actually wondering that the other day. I was like, did they know about our mailman moment?
They
it was
don't
funny
know our
to
mailman
talk to you
moments.
About it, though.
Yeah, but it wasn't funny to listen to, so I cut it.
Yeah.
Anyways, Wheels!
Oh, Wheels!
Wheels was truly middle of the road for me. I don't know exactly why.
I like Wheels.
I was fine with Wheels, and I'll leave it at that. Yeah. I didn't dislike it, but I wasn't like, wow, this is one of the good episodes. I was like, this is an episode.
No. Oh, no. I think this is like, this episode is good. Like, I think you're right. I think it's definitely middle of the road. Like, it doesn't make me viscerally angry like the episode before did, but it also isn't like... like there are like funny moments in the episode, but it's like
like viscerally turned on like the episode before, but it is like
I'm not like, you know, the horny mom I was born to be like I was in the episode before. No, it was fine. I think, hear me out, what do they love so much about Puck? Like,
okay
Puck has like all the funny lines in the episode,
but
I know we have perspective.
No, but this is, I wrote in my notes, this is maybe my favorite Puck storyline of all time is the Puck cupcakes. It is, when I think of Puck, this is the specific storyline I think of.
Yeah.
Because it is like perfect glee for me that it is them trying to accomplish a positive thing in a really screwed up way, but like intentionally, like the writers know it's screwed up and you're supposed to be laughing about that.
Yeah.
And that like... the fact that they're raising money to get a handicapable bus for their friend in a wheelchair by drugging the student body is hilarious.
I do love to hear
so,
it.
So, I don't know. I still think Mark Salling's a bad actor in this episode.
Oh,
but
certainly.
All the Puck scenes and storylines I actually think are top tier for the character. I think he is very funny in this episode.
No, I get that. And it's in, and honestly, in like most every episode that he's in, he always... not always, but like, you know, when he has a funny line, I can tell, like, especially Ryan Murphy, it's always in a Ryan Murphy episode that like he has a really funny line and I'm like, wow, they just love this character so much, and I just hate to hear it. And also, it's easy for us in 2020 with the knowledge of who Mark Salling is as a person for us to hate Puck. And honestly, it is actually really difficult on this rewatch because I have, you know, like you just said you liked Puck in this episode. I'm like, I felt no good feelings towards him. And I wish that I could, because I think you're totally right. And I remember watching the show and thinking and liking this episode and like seeing the moment between like Quinn and Puck when they like are doing the food fight thing. And I was like, and I remember thinking that that was like cute as a kid. And now I'm like throwing up. And I'm
like, get out of there, Quinn. You're
Quinn,
not safe.
Please. You're not safe there. My love, leave, please.
Yeah,
anyway.
No. Knowledge has completely ruined Puck.
Yeah.
So,
I wonder if I wrote down any of his funny lines, because he always has lines that I think are so funny.
I wrote down, I didn't write this because it was funny. I wrote this because the dialogue is terrible and the delivery of the dialogue is even worse. When he goes, all I know is that you're a punk who doesn't deserve Quinn as his girlfriend.
Oh my God, I totally, woof. I hated that scene so much because I was like, wow. I, first of all, hate to see this. I really do. The way they're just like not communicating with each other and being like just gross boys. I was like, I hang out with you and like two other men in my life. So when I see that happen, I'm just like, I literally cannot even relate to this. I don't want to watch it anymore. And then the cherry on top is Mark Salling is the worst actor I've ever seen in my life.
He does such a bad job.
So terrible. Oh my God. My favorite line from him from this episode was when they got the money for the bus. He's like, yeah, we got the money for the bus and we got money enough for two cases of Natty Light for the ride home. And I was like, he is such a douchebag. And the writers know, so they made him drink Natty Light.
Natty Light.
I don't know
I don't know what that is.
It's just like a douchebag beer. It's like a frat bro, like stupid beer.
I love Puck script-wise in this episode.
Yeah. I usually love Puck script-wise.
Quinn in this episode, though, is like...
Whoa, Quinn.
All-time awful.
I know.
Like,
she is terrible.
Because in other episodes, when she is, like, especially mean to Finn and, like, especially demanding or kind of a bully, mm-hmm. you can see her motivation more. Like, it's, like, something just traumatic happened to her.
Yeah, definitely.
So while she's still in the wrong, like, you get it. And I do understand that it's because she's getting stressed because Dr. Bills keeps showing up at her house and she mm-hmm. thinks her parents are going to find out. But, like, she is so demanding to Finn over a child that she knows is not his. And then when Puck wants to pay for the baby, I straight up was like, take the money from Puck, who cares?
I know, literally.
Like,
I was so
lost. That doesn't mean that he has to raise the baby. Like, you can still give it up for adoption, but just, like, take the money from him. Like, she is so awful to Finn in this episode. And I, as a rule, usually really enjoy Quinn as a character because I love how, like, well, in the first season at least, because I love how complex she is.
Yeah.
I didn't like her in this episode. Not even in, like, I disagree, but I can understand. I just straight up didn't like it at all.
Yeah. Do either of them know, either of them meaning Finn and Puck, do they know that she's been in contact with Will's wife, with Terry?
I don't think so.
Okay. So what we know, just storyboarding this in my mind. So what we know is that Quinn is planning on giving this baby to Terry. Both of them think that she's going to choose that
one
she's
going
to like one of them to like have this baby with forever.
Yeah.
Quinn is so evil. I love her. Oh my God.
Yeah,
she's especially just nasty to Finn in this episode. And I talk about this all the time. I love Finn. And I especially love that Finn is a main character and he's also kind of dumb. And like, that's like a struggle he deals with, but it also is just like a part of his character. I find I really relate to that. I'm very sensitive about being a dumbass.
Oh, no.
No, look,
also,
it's okay.
You talk so much about how dumb you are in this podcast, and you're not dumb.
Thank you. It makes everyone really mad, but
And
anyway.
I know because I have sat next to some very dumb people in classes in my life. So
have we ever taken a class together other than a musical theater class?
No, but hear me out, because you would never say this.
Okay.
One time in my middle school science class, our teacher was talking about the waste problem that mm-hmm. the U.S. has and how we have excessive waste. And she was like, for an activity, like, I want you guys to kind of figure out, like, what you can do. And this girl at my table goes, well, why don't we just, like, take all the waste to Africa? And then I said, there's people who live in Africa. And she said, and she goes, so? And I said, well, how would you feel if they just dumped all their waste here? And she goes,
No.
It'd probably just be like trees and stuff, which is not only stupid, but also like pretty racist. So at least you're not like her.
That's true.
I would never, like, I have sat next to some truly stupid people
Aaron,
in my life.
Aaron,
hi. You're not stupid.
Oh, thank you. Thank you,
my
Aaron.
Sister just stuck her head in to back up the fact that Lena is not stupid.
Thank you. And I don't think, okay, and people get very upset with me when I say this. And I don't think I'm, like, stupid. Like, I am very street smart. I think I have smarts in, like, a lot of ways. But, like, I struggle with school sometimes. That's what I mean.
Okay.
And especially like compared to Finn, like Finn is not street smart, you know.
True, true.
Anyway, thank you, Aaron. I appreciate it. Thank you, Ian. Oh my God. I promise I don't say it for attention. I genuinely have
Lena just... every episode before we start, she goes, "Ugh, I'm just not pretty." And then she's like, "Ugh, I'm just stupid." She's like, "Ugh, I just have a bad personality," and waits for me to refute her points.
Yeah. I'm like, and I have to, like, sit there and wait with my hand on my ear, like, give me a compliment, please. Anyway, as a person who is sensitive about that kind of stuff, either way, thank you for telling me I'm not stupid. Hearing Quinn, like, she, like, is so mean to him. And every interaction they have this episode, they have, like, two or three, and she is just, like, on his ass. She's like, are you an idiot? Like, why are you so stupid? Like, and she just, like, is, like, coming for him where it hurts. And it is sad. It is really, really, really sad to see. And it sucks to see Finn, you know, being, you know, a 16-year-old kid and not have the tools to be a dad, let alone, like, provide for a family and for her to, like, be, you know, demanding this of him, which, you know, it's, oh, and we can talk about that, too. Like, I've never been teen pregnant. So, like, I don't know.
Who personally, pays for teen pregnancy? I have.
Have you? Tell me. How did it go? Who paid for it? You or the other one?
A mysterious benefactor. I just received a fat check in the mail. I have no idea. I think it truly is a case-by-case scenario. Because if your parents are supportive, not necessarily that they're like, hooray, you got pregnant, but like they're trying to help you out, I think they would pitch in. But yeah, no, it is a very stressful situation, and it is so... And, like, I understand that it's stressful for Quinn. It's so awful that she throws all of that stress onto Finn, who actually is not even part of it at all. He did not do anything to lead to her getting pregnant. Mm-hmm. And she's just, like, throwing all of it. And it leads to him angrily kicking his wheelchair.
I wrote that down. I was like, Ian's like, gonna love that.
Chair kick number one. Kick. Let's go.
Was this the first chair kick? I thought this was the second one.
It's the first one that I remember. Maybe there was one earlier and we even talked about it and I just forgot. Who knows? In this week off from Glee, I feel like I haven't watched Glee in a year.
Oh,
mostly because this week felt like a year for me.
Oh, I'm
but
sure.
I truly got back and watched Wheels last night and was like, what's happening? Who are any of these characters? Like, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah. Honestly, I was on, so we did the drive yesterday, and everyone was like, we should listen to Glee covers. And I was like, Glee covers? I haven't heard that name in years.
It's been so long.
It's been so long. Do you like listening to Glee covers?
Yes. Certain ones.
Yeah.
I do. Here's
the
deal.
I don't know what it is. Tell me the deal.
So I, on long drives, always listen to musicals because it has a storyline that you can follow.
Mm-hmm.
And just regular music, I will zone out at a point, and it's not great to be zoned out while you're driving. And so the reason I like Glee covers is because I can picture the storyline that's happening around it.
Oh, sure.
So it gives me some context,
person,
you know?
You're a narrative person. I get that.
Hey-o.
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Like, I'm trying really hard. You and I are experiencing this podcast a little differently. Because I'm trying really hard to only watch the episode and then talk about it. Because my mind, we've talked about this a little bit. My mind, like, if I'm like, actively watching season 4, I cannot talk about this one. So I've been trying really hard not to listen to other of the songs because, like, it just, like, throws my mind off. But yesterday we were listening to it, and I was like, I was like, Glee, who is that? I just had a pity party attitude. Also was stuck in the woods for a couple days, and I'm a city gal. I'm not meant for the woods. Should we talk about the numbers in this episode?
Yeah, I was going to say, while we're on Glee covers, let's talk about the songs.
Oh, my God. Hear me out. Great songs this week. This selection
They're
is good very
ones.
Good.
All right. First up, we got Dancing With Myself.
Okay, hear me out. Do you remember back in the day, 2009, when you couldn't stream music, you had to buy music?
Mm-hmm.
So I remember, and this came to me yesterday, because this song came on in the car, and I was very excited to watch the episode last night, because I was like, oh, yeah! I only owned, like, like probably like 10 of the songs, 10 out of the, you know, 8 million songs that they do. And this was one of the first ones that I went out and bought because I loved it so much. Interesting, Ayo. Right? And I loved it. And I was like, and this was one of my, like, this is randomly one of my favorite songs that they did. I really love Kevin McHale's, that's his name, right? Oh my God.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, good. Sorry. I really love Kevin McHale's voice.
We've been away for so long that we start making up names. I really love Barney Schumacher's voice on this song. I think he does a great job.
Barney Schumacher. Honestly, I was really nervous. But I love his voice on this song. I think the way they do it. Up until, you know, 20 minutes ago, I thought that they rewrote this song and did a fun arrangement. So my feelings are a little tainted. Remember when you had to buy music? I had to pay like $1.29 for this song. Maybe it was 99 cents.
I don't remember. I spent an obscene amount of time. I mean, an obscene amount of money on Glee music.
I could not afford it. So I had to like really prioritize. I got like every year for Christmas in my stocking, I got like a $20 iTunes gift card. And that's what I used to buy the music for the year. So I probably like wrote this all down. And I was like, I want this song and this song and this song and this song.
Well,
this song.
My inciting incident was for my birthday, my freshman year of high school, which is May of 2010. Some kid got me the music because I was like against buying Glee music for some reason. I always had this weird complex where like I really liked Glee, but I also knew the type of person who really liked Glee and I didn't want to be associated with that. And so
you're so like, nasty. I totally get that though.
Out of principle, I wouldn't buy the music. And then for my birthday, this kid who like didn't even know me very well.
Oh my God.
So it was just like a shot in the dark. Yeah. Just bought me the music of Glee, volume 3.
That is so nice.
And I listened to that CD all the time. And then I was like, okay, like time to give up the charade. And I then caved and bought all the other season 1 songs.
I totally get that. I was totally a person that like, I don't know, like doing, doing theater in high school. I would like go to theater competitions and I was like, you know, I'm a theater kid, but I'm not like that, which like I'm textbook that, of course I am. Like, and it's just like, that isn't that like such a funny human trait, like liking something but not letting yourself because of the stigma around it.
Yeah, but being like, but I'm not like other girls.
I'm not like other girls. Oh my God. First of all, like growing up, I remember I used to be one of those girls. Like I love my friends from high school. I would only hang out with boys because I was like, I don't hang out with girls because they're too much drama. And I'm like, first of all. Which, like, I love the guy friends that I had in high school, like, still to this day. They're great friends of mine. But, like, also, what the heck? Why would I do that? I even, like, on the playground, like, I used to, we used to play, like, boys versus girls tag in, like, you know, elementary school. And I would always be on the boys' team. Ugh. I don't understand. Internalized misogyny. Mine is fierce. Anyway.
All right, dancing with myself. So there's a shot. The shot when Kevin McHale is in the cafeteria. I like how I say Kevin McHale. Artie is in the cafeteria and he like goes by Tina and she's laughing.
I loved that part so much.
Yeah, that shot freaking rocks.
It's
so cool.
Yeah.
And they did it by playing the song at double speed and having Kevin McHale lip sync to it at double speed. And honestly, when I first watched it, he looked so smooth that I was wondering if they had somehow green screened him in. And I was like, that is like a complex green screening for a TV show budget.
Yeah.
But he looked so smooth in that I did not believe that it was slowed down on his side.
Yeah. I actually learned that they did that, like the Glee people did that on the Glee Project. That's actually, wow.
Glee Project.
I love the Glee Project so much. After we're done with Glee, we should watch the Glee Project and put it on the podcast. It is so good. Oh my God. But it was really cool because they talked about that and they did a lot of like the double speed so it would be slowed down. It was really cool. So isn't that fun? Yeah.
That shot rocks.
Tina Cohen Chang. Tina Cohen, most beautiful woman on the planet. Wow.
I don't have much else to say about
this. No, it was
just
awesome. I just love it.
Fun fact about Dancing with Myself, though. My sister auditioned. So my school did like essentially a talent show every year, my high school, called Coffee House. and it was a fundraiser for our choir, but like anyone could audition. Mm-hmm. And it was just like people would come and they would sit on the stage with us at little tables, and they could order like you were at a cafe, like coffee, tea, hot chocolate, and then like donuts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was a little mini stage, and we would go up and do performances. And my sister auditioned specifically with this version of Dancing with Myself.
Fun.
And honestly, this was so mortifying to her, because my sister in high school, she's very talented. She has a beautiful voice. You've mm-hmm. heard her sing before. She's mm-hmm. in a band. Mm-hmm. But in high school, she was like super shy about her voice. And so she really wanted to audition, but also like really didn't want to audition because she was like embarrassed to sing in front of people, essentially. And so she like was really excited about singing Dancing with Myself and like convinced herself to audition with it and auditions with it. And our choir teacher told her that they couldn't put it in the show because the song is about masturbation.
What?
Which also I have looked up on the internet and I don't think that's true.
What?
Yeah.
She I was have like, never heard that. In yeah. my entire life.
And I looked it up, and there doesn't seem to be much
no
evidence
way.
To support that.
No
so, that
way.
I think it's just an old wives' tale. But my sister was so embarrassed. Thankfully, our choir teacher was like, you can pick another song and I'll just put you in. You don't have to audition. But it was so embarrassing to like have worked on this song and then sing it and be like, sorry, but are. That's about masturbating,
right,
so we're not
you.
Doing it. Hi, Erin, do you remember that?
That is mortifying.
She said, yes, I do. Anyways.
Why? How old was she?
She was 16.
Being a 16-year-old sucks in the first place. I couldn't imagine being 16 and then having your teacher be like, you can't sing a song about masturbation. Like, oh my God, I would absolutely pass away from embarrassment.
Yeah,
that's
be terrible.
Terrible.
No, my choir teacher, which I understand because we were living in Arizona, which is like very conservative. And so she was always so concerned about having any act that had like anything sexual in it whatsoever, because yeah. it was not unwarranted, because parents would email and complain and like email the principal and then she would get in trouble.
Yeah.
So she was like
I've
very concerned about it. Yeah. So we straight up like a girl saying skinny lover and she didn't let it in because it said lover. And she was like, someone's your lover if you're having sex with him.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She
That's
would
madness.
She would usually do what she did with Erin, where she would be like, but you sounded good on it, so pick a different song and we'll
cool.
put you in.
Good for her.
But,
good for her.
But she would always cut these songs that like some one person in the like 400 people that would come would think it was sexual. So she'd
sure.
cut it. And yet a band came, a screamo band at my school.
Wow.
They came and they sang an original song called Love
God.
Is Lust. And she put it in.
Accurate. That's the
right?
truth, though.
And I was like, that is the most... And straight up, the lyrics were like, love is lust. It makes you want to thrust. Love is
no way.
Lust.
Thrust. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
I was well, like, but her thing was...
Love is lust. It makes
their
you
diction,
want to thrust.
Their
That's
diction
so
was
good.
So bad that she couldn't understand what they were saying.
That's
so she was
the thing
like, great,
with
you're
original
in.
Music. How do you regulate original music? I don't know.
Oh, my
That
gosh.
Is so funny. I have a memory like that. That, like, it's such a niche thing. Like, only, like, four people that I know remember it. But we had a school talent show, and one of the kids rapped to his girlfriend. And I think about it absolutely every day. And it was, you're my number one, number one, number one, number one, number one, number one girl.
You told me about this. You told me about this.
Yeah. And now every time anyone says, you're my number one, I'm always like, in my mind, I'm like, number one, number one, number one, number one, number one, number one, number one girl.
Oh,
like,
my.
So, funny.
High school talent shows are the best.
Did you participate? I did not.
I did. No, I emceed
sure
my
did.
Talent show 2 years.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was. I was in it.
No way. I always had like I'm not a fool. I always had daydreams where they would like, you know, pull me up on stage and be like, Lena, you're the best singer in the school.
Oh,
come sing the prom song.
My
they obviously
gosh.
Never did because I live in reality. But I never did. I never auditioned because I was like, I don't know. I think I had some sort of like weird pride thing. I don't know. I can't really even pin down.
No,
even
I now, get that.
Like the other day, my best friend from high school, Sam, he goes to my university. He sent me a message. He's like, you should come do the school, what's that called? Like beauty pageant, which is like a talent competition now. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you'd be so great. And I was like, you know what? Maybe no, I will never do that. I don't know why. I don't know why I never did that kind of stuff. Even now, I'm like, ooh. Even doing SU Lives, I have to be like, okay, Lena, let's drop your pride for a minute. I don't even know.
Anyway. Well, I always had this thing that I assumed that I wasn't talented and mm-hmm. everyone was lying to me. Yeah. I had that. I still get that sometimes where I'm in a show.
I certainly get that.
And I'm like, the director regrets casting me so much and mm-hmm. they want to fire me. And there's like no evidence to support that clause, but I just decide that that's true. And so I always had this weird thing in high school where I wouldn't audition for something unless someone told me I should. And it wasn't.
Oh my God. Ian. Yeah. Yes.
And it wasn't because I was like, it's beneath me, but it was because I was like, I truly don't believe, like, I think it's going to be embarrassing and people are going to be like, why is he auditioning? He sucks.
Yeah.
And then if someone was like, you should audition, then I'd be like, okay, I have like a third mm-hmm. party saying that it's a good idea. So
literally,
I will now do it.
I completely yeah. agree.
All right. Anyways, that was just myself. didn't you know? We talked about it the whole time. Okay. Next is Defying Gravity, but I have too many thots about this song that are intrinsically tied to the Kurt storyline.
Okay.
So
well,
we're going to have to dive.
Kurt storyline.
Okay. Here's my thing.
What's your thing?
This storyline is such a good idea for a storyline if they picked literally any other song. I 100% mm-hmm. get behind the, like, who cares the person's gender, let them audition, give it to the best person. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. Rachel, in my opinion, is the best person by a mile. And it is not because Chris Colfer can't sing. Mm-mm. It is because he can't belt.
Yeah.
And Defying Gravity is like the most yep. iconic musical theater belt song
yeah.
of like the last 20 years.
Oh, certainly.
And so for them to have us listen to Chris Colfer head voice that whole thing and then expect us to believe that he would have gotten it if he had purposely thrown the last note, mm-hmm. I don't buy it for a second.
I don't buy it either.
Listening to the diva yeah. off every time Lea Michele came back in, I was like, thank you. This is how this song is supposed to be sung.
Yeah, I completely agree. I wish they would have chosen a different song, something that was more catered towards.
Yeah, like there are so many women's musical theater songs that mm-hmm. are meant to be sung in head voice that he would sound great on.
He would sound great
Why
on.
Did you pick this one?
Yeah, and I think it was just like they wanted to like do, you know, a popular musical theater song. They've only done like a couple musical theater songs, and they're so far they've been, you know, like like Cabaret and like mm-hmm. so they have to do like big songs that people that are regular yeah. people will understand. So I understand why, but also it was God love Chris Colfer, and I love Kurt. I love him so much, but I completely agree. I wish they would have picked a different song to tell this story.
No,
yeah.
Because I was like, I would vote for Rachel. Like, no chance am I voting for Kurt for this song.
Yeah, I would, yeah.
And it's annoying to me when there is, like, a storyline about someone essentially, like, being oppressed or discriminated mm-hmm. against. But I'm like, no, but, like, they're right. Like, they're not right to not let you audition.
Yeah.
Like, Will 100% should let you audition, and he was wrong to deny that. But him giving it to Rachel in this one instance is not discrimination. She actually fits the song better voice-wise than you do. And I feel like the writers want us to be like, oh my gosh, like, they're discriminating against Kurt because he didn't get Defying Gravity. But no, they're not. She's better for the song. Sorry.
Yeah.
Pick a different song then.
On principle, like, watching the show and seeing Will time week after week after week after week after week give Rachel a solo, no contest, no one ever gets another chance. I love this storyline. And it's something that we'll continue to see with Rachel, that like mm-hmm. Rachel will be given an opportunity that everyone else would love. And then one of them contests it, and then they have to, like, do a diva off with Rachel. So I love the diva line story, storyline. I was excited to see it, and I just think they need to be smarter about it.
Yeah, no, Will's terrible in this episode.
He is awful.
I stand up that Rachel should have gotten the solo in the end after auditions because she sounded better than him. Mm-hmm. But Will is terrible, and here's the deal. Mercedes wants to audition, but then she doesn't join the diva off because the writers know she would blow that song out of the water and that exactly. She should have it.
Oh,
but they can't
God.
Have that. They need Rachel to have the song.
Thinking about Amber Riley singing Defying Gravity.
Right?
I have chills just with the idea.
Also, straight up, Mercedes, Will just decides Rachel's having Defying Gravity. It is shocking to me how frequently he just assigns a solo without holding auditions or anything. And always to the same person. Yeah. Anyways, he just decides that she's going to do Defying Gravity. And then Mercedes is like, what's up? I would like to be considered for that song. And Will says mm-hmm. to her, I'm sorry, Mercedes. We don't have time to rearrange the song for you.
I know.
What does that even mean?
Yeah.
She literally, like, it's not in a special key for Rachel. Literally just play the sheet music and have Mercedes sing it. How would you have to rearrange anything?
I think she makes a comment that's like, I would
about
love
like
to
chocolate
put,
thunder.
She wants to put her own kind of spin on it.
Oh, and so it's like, Will was like, oh, so it has to be hip hop.
Yeah. I think that's what he thought, which like, first of all, thank you, Will. Like Will sucks so bad in this episode. In the way like, and they have a full band for rehearsals every single day. It would not be very hard for Mercedes to meet with them once, maybe twice, and like change anything she wanted. It would not be hard.
Well,
like, I mean, they're high schoolers, but like if Will really let her, she could. But he doesn't even give her the opportunity.
Well, even beyond that, just say to Mercedes, like, hey, sorry, we don't have time to rearrange the song, but if you want to audition singing it this way, you can.
Because it's like Mercedes can't sing a song unless it's
seriously,
like,
he's like, sorry, yeah. Mercedes, you're not white. So unless there's a hip hop beat, the judges ain't going to buy it.
The judges
like,
aren't going
to
buy it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Also, Rachel has a line to Finn where she says, I really think the judges at sectionals will find a female version of Defying Gravity much more accessible.
They keep using the word accessible in this episode. They say the word accessible a million times. And I was like, interesting. Interesting that like we're talking about wheelchair ramps. We're talking about buses with like, you know, a wheelchair accessible entrance. And they keep using the word accessible for things that are not like Rachel saying that. Oh, my God. Go on with your thought.
No. She's like, and I don't think we're supposed to, like, we're not supposed to side with her when she says
it.
It's supposed
really
to be like,
she's
with discriminating
Rachel.
Against Kurt, but like, she's so, they have lost the balance where she's so unsympathetic in this episode.
Yep.
I feel no remorse for her. And also, I wrote, who does Defying Gravity for a show choir competition? Just in general.
Yeah.
Terrible like
choice.
Beyond the gender of the person singing it, if I went to a show choir competition and they were singing Defying Gravity, I'd be like, this sucks.
Literally.
This is not the time or place to sing this song.
No, it's not. I completely agree. This is another just a weird thing. I just don't understand. They keep like talking about doing things for sectionals and then never
not doing them
again.
And they don't, it's never referenced.
They never reference it again because they're like, we're doing this for sectionals. And then it's like, oh, it's not even like, let's have a conversation about why we didn't choose Defying Gravity. It's just like, oh, nope, it's not happening
anymore.
You're
like, never mind, whatever.
Never mind. I cannot wait to watch sectionals. Oh my gosh. Okay.
All right. Those are my
next one.
Yeah, those are my Defying Gravity thoughts. Next is Primary Bomber. When I was in middle school, we had a pep rally, I guess like an assembly, because we didn't have any sports teams to have pep about, but we had an assembly, and it was like the 15th anniversary of my middle school opening, or 20th or something like that, so it was like a big celebration, honestly, maybe it was 10 years, and all of the teachers performed, and we had like one of the teachers, like the coach, he had a giant clock around his neck, and he was Flava Flav.
Flava Flav.
Don't worry, everyone. He did not do blackface.
Good.
He just wore a clock around his neck. But our principal did. Our principal, who was black. Wait, mm-hmm. It wasn't our principal. It was a history teacher. Who was my principal in middle school? Maybe it was our principal. She put on a mullet and dressed as Tina Turner.
Aww.
And lip sunk to Proud Mary.
I love that.
It was incredible. It was so fun and so exciting. Yeah, and they had like a bunch of them came out. They came out like one of them was Riff Raff, one of them was Magenta, and they did the Time Warp. It was great. It was such a fun assembly.
Oh, I thought you meant Riff Raff, the guy who's like, summertime!
Oh, no, I meant Riff Raff, the, like, incestuous alien.
Like, I don't know nobody. That's Riff Raff.
Yeah, that was my first introduction to this version of Proud Mary.
Cool. I love how they're all dressed like Artie in this number. I realized that last night. I'm like, they're dressed like Artie.
Literally during this number, I was like, why are they dressed like that?
They're dressed like Artie.
That didn't occur to me until this second.
Yeah. So, because they're all wearing like polos and like suspenders and little gloves.
The beginning of this number,
mm-hmm.
where Finn says, this one's for you, Artie.
Oh my God.
Has made me cringe out of my skin since it first aired. That was one of those moments that I was like, that aired, and I was like, I can't buy the music from the show because I can't let people know I like this show this much.
No, I totally get it.
Because it is so embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. So on the nose. I hate it. I hate that line.
You hate when they talk in songs. You really do. And honestly, I totally agree.
I also, it's just beating it over the head.
And
clearly,
why? This
number is for Artie. They're all in wheelchairs, and he has the solo. Mm-hmm. And then for them to say, this one's for you, Artie,
mm-hmm.
it's too much. They cross the line, and it becomes so corny.
And we get it. Finn is the straight man, and he getting his approval is like getting God's approval. I get it. I totally agree. But, like, the number, wow. I love this number. The storyline that is... Will challenges them to be in a wheelchair for 3 hours a day. We can talk about it in a minute. But
also,
I think,
is he allowed to do that?
I don't know.
Once again,
no.
Isn't this a club?
Yeah.
They're not receiving grades.
No, they're not. I remember in junior high, we did an exercise, like my homeroom did, and they would tape our thumbs. They would, like, tape our thumbs to the rest of our hand so we couldn't use our thumbs for the rest of the day. And it was supposed to be, like, a lesson in empathy and, like, learning to, like, live with some sort of disability, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, no one made us do that. So it was just, like, keep the tape on if we were a good person. But a lot of kids would, like, take off the tape. So I assume it's something like that where it's, like, you're encouraged. I don't know. And also, they all really care about Glee Club, so I assume that they were, I don't know, Quinn. Why would Quinn? Quinn's got other things to worry about.
They can't make up their mind on her character. They're like, they want to redeem her, but not
it's
yet,
really
so they just
sad.
Keep flip-flopping. I truly don't have a lot to say about Proud Mary. I like it, and that's that. I will say Santana is a serving face like I've never seen in this number. Did you notice that? Well, specifically when they do the do-do-do-do-do-do-do and they're like rocking back and forth, she has her face turned down, her eyes pointed straight at the camera, like, so she's doing that thing where you like, you connect with an audience member and you're like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like, just you and me know what's going on and no one else really does. She's doing it 100%. And then there's another moment where everyone's just like going across the ramps and they're kind of looking at where they're going. Her head is fully pointed straight out to the camera while she does it.
Good for her. It's good for her.
Servant face. Good for
I
you, Santana. Those are my thoughts about Proud Mary. I don't have a lot. Tina sings. Good for her.
Tina sings.
Good for you, Tina. We're proud of you.
Artie sings. Good for him. This is Artie's got his like first real solo in the episode.
Yeah.
And then another like solo in a song. Like in a song, obviously. But like in a group number.
In Showmance... In the podcast, Jenna Ushkowitz and Kevin McHale refer to this as the first episode where they were characters.
Honestly.
Because they're like, everything before this episode was just like them in the background. And this is the first time they were like given scenes and like given songs.
Yep.
And Yeah.
My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
I think this is a good transition to talk about the Tina and Artie of it all.
The tardy of it all.
The tardy of it all.
The twardy. So,
in this episode, we learn that Tina's been faking her stutter. I just don't think that her stutter has been utilized enough for us to be upset about her faking it. I remember watching it last night and I was like, wow, this is really, like, they're really, this is episode what, 8, 9? What episode are we on?
Nine.
And we've known this character for 9 episodes. She's gotten maybe, maybe 10 lines in the entire show so far. And they've been lines where she's stuttered, but the way that they, Artie is really, really, really hurt by her faking her stutter. And I believe that he would be. I think that, like, fits in the story and fits in the character. But, like, I don't feel as betrayed by her faking her stutter because I haven't seen it. I haven't heard it very often. So here, like, them pulling this on us and being like, oh, yeah, I don't have a stutter. It, like, hearing that, because you said the writers were, like, being lazy about it. They're like, we just don't know how to write for a character that has a stutter. Like, I can tell. Like, I can super tell watching the episode that it's not because they don't think that that's, like, you know, a good character. They are just lazy and, like, they don't know how to write for a character with a stutter. I don't know. Yeah. So I just, like, I don't know. I feel weird about it. Like, I'm glad that she is going to be a bigger character now. Hopefully. No, actually, she's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't get your hopes up for that.
What the fuck?
But I will say, on the other front, if they had done storylines that were, like, really in-depth about how hard it is to have a speech impediment.
Yeah.
And then were like, guess what? It was faked.
Yeah.
That would have been really bad.
Really? Like, I completely agree.
It already is a little uncomfortable that they were like, so this character that you thought had a speech impediment actually didn't, and, like, sorry for those of you who have speech impediments in real life.
Oh, certainly.
But it would have been way worse if they had, like, given her a lot of storylines about, like, the struggles of it, and then it was like, mm-hmm. Just kidding, she doesn't actually have those struggles.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can understand where the writers are coming from, because it would, like, it's their mistake. Like, sorry you made the character that way.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just, like, frankly, when you write a pilot, you don't know if it's going to get picked up.
Yeah,
so you
I guess
only
so.
Are thinking about the pilot. And then once the pilot was picked up, they were like, oh, crap, like, this character's defining trait is that she's really shy and doesn't like to talk. Mm-hmm. How on earth do you write for a character who doesn't like to talk?
Yeah.
And so it was like, well, we'll make the issue to tackle is her self-confidence mm-hmm. instead of the issue to tackle is her speech impediment and self-confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved
Artie
in that scene, though.
I remember I could even tell when it first aired that I was like, the writers regret giving her a stutter.
Yeah, literally.
Like, it does not feel planned at all. It is 100% just them like,
it totally
crap.
Doesn't. They were like, well,
yeah,
we don't know what to do with her. I loved Artie in that scene. I love Artie in this episode, really. Like, he's just, Kevin McHale is, I feel like, a great actor. And, like, that scene with, you know, Tina kissing him and then him being like, I really thought we had something really special in common. And now I know that, like, you're faking it, and, like, I can't fake this wheelchair, which is funny because
he is. I thought the same thing. I was
he
like,
is.
Well, yeah. Actually, you can because you currently are.
Yeah, literally, I was like, well, interesting. Mm. Yeah. Well, we haven't really talked about Artie as a character very much, and I, for those of you listening at home, I'm not in a wheelchair, so I can't speak to any of this. But I wonder how people in wheelchairs feel about, you know,
about
actors.
Kevin McHale playing Artie.
Yeah, because
yeah, I
like
the same thing.
it must suck being a person like who is wheelchair bound and seeing representation and being like, oh my God, like this is a character I can connect with. Like, I'm sure it was awesome in 2009 to be like, to be a person in a wheelchair and see on like a major TV show, a character who later has like pretty like fully formed storylines, like have, you know, be in a wheelchair. But like, also, wouldn't it have been awesome to get an actor who is mm-hmm. wheelchair bound, you know?
So one of the writers was asked about that. I remember which one it was. And their answer was essentially like, well, Kevin McHale, like, he was just such a talented actor and he was such a talented singer and all this stuff. And you just can't say no to talent like that. That feels more like covering their butts. But anyways.
Which, like, I totally, like, I really hate to hear that. Like, you know, I totally get, like, you know, casting the most talented person. But when it comes to terms of representation, that seems silly.
Well, it's like Glee Project runner-up Ally Stroker, who's mm-hmm. in a wheelchair, mm-hmm. she can only get cast in something if the character is in a wheelchair or if they make, like, a big directorial choice.
Exactly.
Like, when Which she was sucks. In Oklahoma and won a Tony, what's up? They, what's like, up, specifically Ally? Made a choice that they were like, it's gonna be modern day, mm-hmm. and we're gonna, like, have it be done in this way it's never been done before. Her castability is so limited by that it does suck that, like, this is a character she couldn't play because she's a woman mm-hmm. and it's a man on a TV show, but, like, someone else could play and they're like, no, it's this actor who can walk.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I love that version of Oklahoma so much. I call it Sexy Oklahoma.
Sexy Oklahoma.
I'm obsessed with that version of Oklahoma. Oh my God. I want to play Ado Annie so bad I could die. Anyway, let's talk about Glee.
I don't have any other Artina notes. I honestly, like, have to tell you, I don't have a lot of thought about this episode.
I know you don't.
I'm just kind of like,
We could talk about, let's talk about Sue.
Okay. This is the first time we get humanization of Sue.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like it.
I like it too. Yeah. Well, we've talked a big talk about how, and we will continue to talk about this, that Sue is our villain. Sue is our villain. And there are moments in this TV show that we won't talk about now, because spoilers, that I don't like when they try and humanize Sue too much, because I think then it makes the things that she says
not, like, funny, because not she funny becomes too she's real a real of a person. Human.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I know that now she has thoughts and flaws and loves and, you know, I know more about her character. So in this show, Sue Sylvester has said some really, like, ableist bullshit, and we've talked about it on the show. But it's also, we've also, like, pushed it under the rug because she's our villain. And, like, those are the characters that are allowed to say, like, you know, the crap like that. But then we get moments like this, and we learn that Sue's sister has Down syndrome. And then we see Sue let Becky Jackson, a character with Down syndrome, onto the Cheerios. Why is she so ableist then? You can tell that these writers are, like, flying by the seat of their pants. They didn't plan this, like, when they wrote all those jokes, obviously, like, but also, what the heck? I'm so
in defense, although I agree with you and I don't think they thought this out, but in defense of it, maybe they did think it out. Her big thing with Becky and Jean is that they just want to be treated like everyone else, so she treats them like everyone else. Which is true, but, like,
I totally get that, and I totally like that.
For handicapped people, there are mm-hmm. certain scenarios where they cannot be treated like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is that Sue, like, has that mentality to a fault,
mm-hmm.
where, like, if Artie can't get up a staircase because he's in a wheelchair, sucks. You should be like everyone else, and you should be able to get to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she has what it is. It is taking good things to extremes where they're no longer good.
Yeah.
And it's treating someone like everyone else is a good idea. But if you take it to the extreme that you will not, like, make any compromises for them mm-hmm. and, like, any disabilities that they have, it becomes a vice. And Sue has that vice. That mm-hmm. is my thoughts on it.
Yeah.
I do want to say in, what am I saying? What I do want to say when she visits Jean,
mm-hmm.
which is a great scene and Jane Lynch does a great job. she is like, what should we read? I mean, what should we do? And Jean's like, we should read something. And she's like, look what I brought. And it's Little Red Riding Hood. Why is that book like 200 pages long?
I have no idea.
That is the thickest version of Little Red Riding Hood, a famously simple story I have ever seen.
Yeah.
It is long.
And I don't remember it having like a cover on it. Like I remember it being just like a leather bound book.
Well, Little Red Riding Hood is one of those stories because it was written like forever ago.
And it was
word of mouth. So there are many different versions of it, you know?
Also, why would that be the book that you chose to read? Like, I feel like if you're going to read to someone, you want it to be, like, not that. I don't know.
Especially, like, a 200-page version of a story that's literally just, like, a girl goes to her grandmother's house, gets eaten by a wolf, and gets saved. Yeah. Like, that storyline should be 30 pages tops. Yeah. Hey, hold up. I'm going to go over my notes.
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes. We learned that Sue paid for the accessible ramps in the school.
Heck yeah, Sue.
So they get all the money, right? And then they're like, well, let's just buy some. So Artie's like, yeah, instead of the bus, let's get some ramps for the school because the other kids who are in their wheelchairs have a really tough time.
Which also, like, I'm so sorry, Artie. $200 is not going to cover even one ramp.
I know. It's like, just keep it for the bus.
Truly, the last thing I have to say about this episode is something that I've forgotten. I read it. Oh, the last thing I have to say about this episode is it is the genesis of something I hate so much about Artie's character.
Oh my God. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking
about. When he talks like he's
black. Yeah. He uses a black scent.
He uses a black scent. It is so embarrassing to me. You are white, and not only are white, like, you're a nerd. It is horrible.
Yep. It's terrible.
Will says something about Artie and how they, like, it's really rude that everyone is making him ride with his dad. And then Artie goes, preach. And I was like, do not say that. Look in the mirror. It is so humiliating.
I know. Embarrassing. Really disappointing. Yeah. We'll talk more about it as it comes along. We obviously only just got a taste of it, but geez Louise.
Truly, that's all I have to say about Wheels.
Can we talk about, just for a minute, I know we already talked about the bake sale. Why do food fights always turn sexual? Have you ever been in a food fight that turned sexual? I haven't.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't understand that trope. Every single one I met.
Also, if someone, I don't care if it was a girl I liked, if someone cracked an egg on my head in the middle of the school
pissed.
Day, I'd be mad.
Especially Quinn, who, God love her. We should talk about her fashion sometime because her fashion really influenced a lot of my life. But like, she obviously cares about her appearance a lot. She's got the most beautiful hair.
Well, no. She cracks it on Puck's head. She's the one who does it.
But still, why would she incite a food fight?
Oh yeah, no, I don't know.
When she's still gotta go to school.
But like flour and stuff, I can understand. You get caught up in the moment, you're having fun, whatever.
It's not flour, it's chocolate.
Okay, it's powdered. But having egg yolk on yourself is disgusting.
Oh, that sucks. That sucks.
And that's the first thing she does, too. It's not like it builds up to an egg. She starts out, she's going at 100 right from the get-go. She starts with the worst thing on the table and says, let's work down from here. I would be livid if someone cracked an egg on my head.
Yeah. Even if it turned sexual?
You know what? If it was food fight gone wrong, parentheses, gone sexual, parentheses, emotional, I might forgive it.
And then Finn walks in on it. Them
also,
being sexual.
Food fights don't happen.
I have never been in a food
fight.
I don't know.
I think someone needs to tell all of Hollywood that food fights are a rare occurrence. The entirety of the time I was in high school, two food fights happened the whole time.
Really? Wait, and I had zero.
Okay, so here's what happened.
I think they're
there
like
was
urban myths.
The last day of my sophomore year. There was a food fight in the cafeteria that the seniors were like, hey, everyone, since it's the last day, we're going to do a food fight. And everyone was like, sounds cool. And so there was a food fight in the cafeteria, and the administration got all pissed, obviously, because it's a huge mess to clean up.
Yeah.
And then the next year, the new senior class was like, we're going to do that food fight thing again. Like, we're going to make it a tradition. Weird. But, like, we're going to do it all over the school. And, yeah.
No way.
And so, like, the principal knew about it, and he was like, he tried so hard.
Yeah.
He was like, hey, on this day during lunch, like, please don't have a food fight. Like, we, in the auditorium, we're going to pull down the projector screen and be showing a movie. Like, you can go and watch that. We're going to have, like, a concert going on in this part of the school. Like, he was so nice and, like, gave fun activities. So he was like, I know it's your last lunch, so, like, you want to do something fun. So, like, the school is providing these activities. Like, please don't have a food fight. That senior class, they were all like a bunch of demons. They did it anyway. It was not just a food fight. It was like a kid ran out to start it in a morph suit with a blowhorn and blew, like, ran not in the cafeteria, like, through the school. And it turned into, like, people going crazy, throwing food at campus police, kids tearing the doors off of bathroom stalls.
No.
It turned into, like, a riot. And then campus police, because they were damaging school property, they were ripping doors off of stalls. Campus police escorted everyone off campus because they were like, you can't keep doing this. So they made everyone stand in the parking lot, and then all the kids started shaking one of the cars trying to turn it over. And I was like, you guys, like, this is what happens when you get a bunch of rich white kids in a school, and a lot of them kept calling it the revolution. And I was like, what do you think? Like, what do you think is oppressing you? High school? Like, literally, everyone goes through high school. It's not oppression.
Use this energy for something else.
Seriously. And they're all like, because it's freaking Scottsdale, Arizona. They're all like upper middle class white kids who were like, we're fighting the system by having a food fight at our high school. It was so embarrassing. And then,
like,
a bunch
Jeremy,
of them,
your dad is a dentist. What are you mad at?
Yeah.
Like,
and then a bunch of them weren't allowed to walk at graduation because
makes
of
sense.
It.
Of course. I remember, like, I never did, because I, you know, wasn't just a textbook weirdo in high school. I didn't participate in anything like that. But there would always be, like, some sort of senior prank that was, like, weird. And there was a group of, like, 8 kids my senior year who broke into the school and filled the school with cups of water.
Honestly,
like, just
I
everywhere.
Respect that. That's incredible.
They couldn't go to graduation for that.
Oh my gosh. My thing
isn't
is
that madness?
With
your kids were trying to tip a cop car.
My school, we always did senior pranks, and that's why that senior class did the food fight, because they did a senior prank that was like, let's all put our phones in our lockers and have them all ring at the same time. But they were stupid and they did it during class, so no one was in the hallway, so no one heard it. And they were all embarrassed, so they were like, we're doing the food fight instead. That's now the senior prank. But my senior class, I was mad about this. We wanted to do a senior prank, but we were like, we're not going to be idiots. Like, we're going to do one that doesn't cause any damage to the school.
Good.
And, like, is an inconvenience, but one that can be fixed in, like, 5 seconds. So our senior prank was, we were all going to show up on campus at, like, 10 p.m., and we were going to set up a campsite in the parking lot.
That's funny.
When people came to school the next day, we would all be, like, in tents and be sleeping and be like, oh my gosh, you woke us up, sorry. And, like, it's something that, like, could be fixed, like, really fast, and it would just be funny. But the food fight had made the administration so concerned that they sent out spies. And so members of the administration made fake Facebook accounts, said they went to our high school and added a bunch of us, and then they got into the, like, secret senior prank Facebook group, so they found out about it. So when we showed up with all of our camping gear, there were cop cars all over the parking lot.
No way.
Yeah, so we didn't have a senior prank.
That sucks.
So instead, a bunch of us just ditched school the next day to be like, screw you, this is our senior prank.
Yeah, I certainly participated in senior ditch day. I certainly did that. I cannot believe the riot. That's madness.
Right.
We talked about
doing... But the riot did not turn sexual. I will vouch for that.
I wish it did.
It didn't.
Good, honestly. I hate to hear about teenage sex riots.
Britney Spears sex riots, specifically.
Oh my... What? Yes, exactly. What? I don't know what you're talking about. What? Huh? What? No, I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, we talked about doing the prank where you where we all like would take a nap in the middle of the hallway. We didn't do that though. Also, I also like net wasn't gonna participate when you said that your administration was gonna like put up a movie. I literally was like, tag me in that movie theater. Like I wouldn't even pretend to join the teenage sex riot.
I stayed out of that teenage sex riot, and I'm glad I did because those kids, the ones who didn't make it out, a lot of them got some big trouble.
Yeah,
because they cost like a lot of money and damage to the campus.
Yeah, wow, crazy.
Well,
that was Glee, I guess.
That was Wheels.
That was Wheels, yo.
Didn't you know? Truly, I'm sorry. This episode was like 70% us talking, 30% Glee. I just don't have strong feelings about Wheels. Strong feeling is that Will is so awful that he won't let Mercedes or Kurt audition. Ridiculous. Yeah. And that Defying Gravity was the worst possible song they could have picked.
Oh, certainly. I think just to talk about the Will thing while we close out, Rachel has this line to him that was like, someday I hope you get to like do a teaching lesson that doesn't like ruin my life or something like that. Which like,
my gosh.
She's so dramatic. We know that. But also, I think she's right in that sense because I don't think he knows how to interact with Rachel in an appropriate manner. And like, he's either like, you know, just like gassing her up constantly, giving her whatever she wants, whenever she wants it, enforcing this behavior that Rachel has that like, you know, is shitty. Like, Rachel is a shitty person. And like, he gasses her up and he gives her whatever she wants. And then she doesn't understand when she doesn't get it. And when like someone gets another opportunity, and I'm like, Will is at the helm of this and is driving this ship, you know, like Rachel obviously sucks, but she's also a 16-year-old girl who keeps getting whatever she wants whenever she wants it. And Will doesn't understand how to explain to her that like, ugh.
Yeah. And it's not like tonight where he like gave it to someone else.
Yeah.
He didn't hold auditions. He straight up said, Rachel, this song is yours.
Yep.
And then took it away from her.
Exactly. And that would suck.
Just hold auditions.
Exactly. I don't understand him. Why doesn't he hold auditions for stuff? I don't get it.
I don't know. He's a terrible teacher.
Terrible teacher. I fucking hate that guy.
Will, quit your job.
Please.
Anyways.
Hashtag Will Schuster, quit your job, 2020.
All right. What was your best part, worst part?
Okay. I think my best part. Okay. It's a controversial best part. I'm going to say it. Quinn, my Queen Bee Quinn, is such a bitch in this episode. And it makes for really good TV. And I love to see it. Mm-hmm. I love Quinn. I love Quinn as a character. I love Diana Agron. I think she is really awesome. She is such a terrible, terrible bitch in this episode, and I love to see it. And it's, that's my best part. Ian, what was your best part?
My best part was the jump rope Cheerios routine at the beginning.
My God.
It was so good. That one guy does straight up like an aerial, and then I guess it's not an aerial, it's just a front flip. But then he lands and goes straight into jump roping. That was awesome.
Yeah. I think he did like a layout, like one where you like flip in the air.
Mm-hmm. I don't know much about gymnastics terms. So
yeah, I don't do sports.
When I was my
even
sister,
the dancey kind.
Erin did gymnastics, and she used to come home and she would teach me what she learned. And so as a child, I could like do handstands and cartwheels and stuff. And then my mom asked if I wanted to take gymnastics, but the patriarchy in me said no, and I have regretted
that ever since.
The plus side is, even if I had said yes, I would have had to quit because I got too tall. But still.
Yeah. I hated tumbling as a kid. So I was on like a competition dance team for a really long time. Hated tumbling. So I didn't take tumbling. Instead, I switched out that class for a show choir class. Oh my God. Yeah, I can't believe I haven't talked about this before. But the show choir class got canceled because not enough people showed up. And it was just like me and like three other girls for a couple weeks. But they didn't tell me that they canceled the class. So I had like on Wednesdays, I had like four classes that night. And it would like start at 6 and end at like 9. and it would go from my like jazz class to my show choir class into like, I don't know, my hip hop class or something. And so I was sitting around for like 2 hours waiting for the show choir thing to start. And they were like, oh, Lena, didn't you know we actually canceled show choir? And I was like, oh, fudge. So I went and joined my sister's tumbling class. And that day they were doing, they were doing handstands, like, and like walking on your hands. Right. Mm-hmm. And I, I'm terribly, terribly uncoordinated when it comes to gymnastics. So I did my handstand. I fell out of it backwards, so like onto my back, and then caught myself with my right ankle, so I fell onto my right ankle. No. And I broke my right ankle so bad. And then so this was a Wednesday, right? Competition started Saturday, so they had to re-choreograph the dance without me in it. It was terrible.
Oh my gosh.
And that was the end of my competition dance life. That was my worst part. Just kidding.
When I was in Xanadu, honestly, Tammy Colombo might listen to this podcast. If you do, what's up, Tammy? When I was in Xanadu, my friend Tammy was playing Melpomene, who's the villain. Mm-hmm. And Tammy has done like a lot of tumbling stuff before, I think. So they had choreographed in that she would do like cartwheels and stuff in the show. And then the week before we opened, maybe she wouldn't want me telling the story, but who cares?
I
want
to hear
it. It was fall break. We lived in the dorms together. And it was fall break, and I was going to Disneyland. And she was in the dorm living room watching TV. And I was like, bye, Tammy. See you next week. And she was like, bye, have fun in Disneyland. And I left. And then 2 days later, I'm in Disneyland, and I get a text from her. And she's like, so I broke my ankle. And I was like, what? So what happened was those 2 days, she did not leave the couch.
Wait, what?
She sat on that couch for like 2 days just watching TV. She did not get up to eat. She didn't get up to go to the bathroom, like nothing.
Did she go to bed? Then, did she just sleep there?
So then, yeah, she just slept on the couch.
No way.
So then, it might have been less than 2 days, but it was like a long time.
Yeah.
And so then she, after she was done watching TV, she was like, okay, well, I'm going to go like actually eat something. But she was like, I'm so nasty. I've been on this couch for so long, so I'm going to go take a shower. She was in the shower, fainted, because she had not...
Because she hadn't eaten in 2 days.
She hadn't eaten in 2 days, so she fainted in the shower, woke up on the shower floor, and her foot hurt, and she couldn't stand up. And so she crawled naked through her dorm to get to her phone, like all wet and naked, crawled on the floor, got to her phone, called our friend Josh for him to come pick her up, and then like managed to like dress herself on the floor while he was coming. And she had broken her ankle or sprained her ankle. So then the show opened in like a matter of days.
Yeah.
So they just cut all of her gymnastics out of it.
Oh,
and
no.
Then she had a brace on her leg. She like wore a dress so you couldn't see. But she had to do this thing where she would walk like she was rocking a boat. She would have to like rock her entire body backwards and forwards as she walked to keep the weight off the foot. It was wild. What a time.
Wow. Injuries, man.
Doo-doo-doo. Anyways, doo-doo-doo. What was your worst part?
Ugh, my God. Oh, wait. I think my best part was Kurt and Bert.
Oh, yeah. No, can I Kurt and Bert. It? Yes, you can.
Okay, I redact. I love you, Queen B. Quinn. But my best part was definitely Kurt and Bert. I love their relationship. I think it's a really special relationship. I think it's really good to see that kind of stuff when you're a kid growing up, seeing people, you know, accepting their kids for who they are and being really cool. And hearing that he was nominated for an Emmy, I totally get that. He's what an amazing character. I love Bert so much. So that's my best part. My worst part is probably Will in this episode just being a terror. Like, he's a terror to Rachel, he is a terror to everyone, he's even a terror to Sue, and like the way he like spies on her, and I'm like, I just don't trust that motherfucker. I understand he's like looking out for Becky. I'm saying as a character, I don't trust that motherfucker.
Okay,
I agree. He oversteps and like, I understand that he's looking out for Becky. I think at his core, he is like trying to do a good thing for Becky. I know that. But he sucks. I hate him. What was your best part? Okay. I mean, worst part.
Worst part? Yeah. Oh my gosh, I think I've beaten this to death. I'm sorry, but don't pick Defying Gravity if you want us to believe that Kurt should have gotten the solo.
Yeah,
there's
bad choice.
Literally, there bad are writing videos. Choice. Like, you can go on YouTube and there are videos of Broadway actors singing Defying Gravity in head voice as a joke. Mm-hmm. That they're like, how funny is it to sing the song in head voice because it sounds so wrong? Mm-hmm. And then the Glee writers were like, but let's actually do it. But try and make the audience believe that he should have gotten the solo. And I don't buy it. He shouldn't have. Pick a different song. That was my worst part. Great. Cool. That's a season wrap on wheels, everyone.
Season wrap on wheels. Okay. So if you guys want to, you can follow us on our social medias. We're at recoveringgleek_podcast on Instagram, on TikTok, and then on Twitter, we're just we're at Recovering Gleek, no underscore podcast, just at Recovering Gleek.
And you can do our weekly Twitter polls.
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't know what it's going to be this week. We'll find something else. It's going to be good, probably. We'll find something. It'll be good. Okay. Cool.
All right. Well, thank you for listening.
Oh, if you want to leave us a review, you totally can. I know that this episode didn't have a lot of Glee in it, so be nice to us.
Yo, our apologies.
But it totally helps us out when you leave us a good review because it, like, gets it on other people's pages, and then it'll be, you know.
It'll be great.
We'll have more friends to hang out with and fight with over Twitter. It'll be good. And you can watch me and Ian passive-aggressively tweet each other mean
from the same account.
Us sharing a social media page, it was a recipe for disaster.
All right. Well, love you guys. Thank you for listening.
We love you so much. Thank you so much for being so cool last week and letting us take a break around. We love you. Go spread some glee. We love you.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.